Okay, today, this week is Parashah Shelach. One of the mitzvahs, of this week's parasha is the mitzvah of tzitzis. The last, what?
The maftir is
tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis. There are many svarim that have been published that discuss all the different aspects of tzitzis, halacha, agada. This year, a few months ago, came out a two-volume sefer, another likut, a collection of inyanim relating to the mitzvah of tzitzis. One volume comes in a set. One volume is a divrei agada, and one volume divrei halacha. I can't even. Shear the wool off.
The wool which they're going to make tzitzis.
Yeah. What are reish sages?
Huh?
They did reish sages?
No, reish sages. Reish sages goes to the kohen.
Yeah, so they didn't do that?
No, they took him to shear a sheep so that they'll make the tzitzis. It will be the whole avoda will be from the beginning to the end only by Jews.
Maisaya of Israel. Alright, fine. The name of the mechaber is Rav. I can't pronounce it. Rav Meir is going to have to tell me how to pronounce this. Huf Binder.
Hofbinder?
Yeah.
Hofbinder is a famous person from London?
Dear Shul or what?
London, one of the big sponsors. Okay, so he published this very, very nice sefer, two volumes, Halach and Agoda. So I wanted to share with you a few inyani Agoda. I did not get that far. So can you imagine a whole thick sefer on inyani Agoda relating to the mitzvah of tzitzis? So I didn't get that far, but let me just share with you a few things that caught my attention in this sefer. The first thing is, what is the word tzitz? What's the shoresh of the word tzitz? Many things I'm going to tell you are half-baked ideas. Tzchomer l'drush, things to think about. What is the shoresh of the word tzitzis? So he presents here in the Akdama, there are really only two words in the entire Tanakh which shed light on the shoresh of the word. One is kitzitz hasadeh kein yotzitz. Pasuk in Tehillim, you have this word used in many places. It basically means a flower, a blossom. It means it's a word that's used in reference to things that grow from the ground, and when they blossom, when they begin to bud, it means it means a blossom. So tzitzis basically then comes from the expression on the corner of your garment you have the fringes. The fringes represent the blossoming of your garments. Now, what does it mean, the blossoming of your garments? A garment represents the person's essence. A garment represents a person's midos, his hanhaga. When we expand the idea of a blossom to a person, it refers to a person's producing peros. The peros of a person are his children. And the tzitzis, the perach, the flower, represents the bringing forth. The bringing forth, the extension of a person. So it's again, tzitz means to produce a blossom. What's the other source for the word tzitzis in the Torah? The other source is Pasuk in Shir HaShirim of Hine ze oimer achar kosleinu mashkiach men achalenos meitzitz men hacharakim, to gaze, to peek from between the cracks. So, like I told you, a lot of these ideas are half-baked ideas. There must be very deep. It doesn't explain Hagdam. You just point to it. It doesn't give an approach. But there must be something very deep in understanding. There are two different dimensions to tzitzis. On the one hand, it represents the idea of blossoming. On the other idea, it represents the idea of seeing. K'nei tzitz min acharakim. To see. To gaze, to look. So I guess it means that when you put the two together, then, and when a person begins to expand, to blossom, to produce, he has to produce in a way where he can see the Yad Hashem. Something along those lines. I just thought that it was interesting. The tzitz is on the forehead. So what does that mean exactly? Aaron, he has a whole piece on that. Aaron wore a tzitz. So what does it mean that he wore the tzitz? What's the difference? I don't know. Okay, but these are the two basic meanings of the word. A blossom and and to gaze. Okay, let's go to another idea.
I have a question. Is, yeah. Is grammatically correct to say tzitzis or tzitzio?
Okay, you're very good. You're saying in our city, the word tzitzis, okay, you're touching upon diktok. Okay, let me tell you what I was taught. Okay, you're touching upon something. All right, let me go to the pasuk. In the Torah, it's spelled differently in different places. I think it says the word tzitzis three times. The first time it says tzitzis, there is no yud. Okay? There's one yud, tzadi, yud, tzadi, sof, tzi, tzis. Okay, next. Now, the second tzadi has a chik, has a little dot. The second time, again, it says tzi, tzis without a yud. And the third time, the third time also. Okay, in our Torah, only every single time there's no yud. There are different. I'm not sure. All three times, at least in the Siddur, I think the way our Masari, the spell in the Torah, there's a yud in the beginning and there's no yud at the end. Now there is a general disagreement among the Daktikim, how to pronounce a word. Is there a difference between the Chiruk Mole and the Chiruk Choser? Chiruk Mole is when you have a Yud after a Chiruk, and versus a situation where you don't have a Yud after a Chiruk. There is a disagreement. There are Medaktikim that are of the opinion that you should emphasize the Yud. That would then mean you would say Tzis. There's more emphasis. But that's not common. Most opinions hold that you, when you don't have a yud after a chiruk, it's more like a shva. It's not a real shva. It's in between a shva and a chiruk. So it would be tzitzis. Tzitzis. You hear what I'm saying? Verse tzitzis. Tzitzis. Tzitzis.
I heard the word tzitzio.
That's plural.
Talisos,
tzitzis. Okay, I don't know. Okay, but there are different ways to pronounce. There are different opinions how the correct pronunciation is. Is it tzitzis, which I think most people, that's the way most people pronounce it, and here Israelis, they pronounce it more tzitzit, tzitzit. They add more of an emphasis to the last, which means they're putting in another yud. There is no yud between the last tzadi and the sof. However, it's a chirik. So it's as if there's an invisible yud. There's a disagreement among those in the Medaktikim. When you have an invisible yud, to what degree do you pronounce the invisible yud? I once spoke to a very big expert about this. His name is Rabbi Bressler. He used to be a Rebbe in Tor Vadas. I don't know where he is now. He told me he cited chapter and verse, all the different opinions about the proper way to pronounce words like tzitzis. He told me that among us, among the crowds that at least I'm familiar with, the way it's taught is to say tzitzis. The second tzadi sof doesn't have that. A hard yud, as a loose yud. That's plural. Okay, I don't know that. I'm not familiar with that. I don't know. Okay, let's go to another idea. Today, if you go into go out of town, you go into a swarm store, Judaica, so you're going to find a talisos, a multicolored. Is there any? Most of us, we are in this community. We are white talis with black stripes. Now we're not going to talk about for now. Another time, why there are black stripes versus blue stripes. The black stripes basically is a zecher for the tchelas. Okay, we traditionally don't really know what the color of the tchelas is. It's a bluish color. Exactly what shade of blue, we don't really know. Today we think we know. We have the murex. Today, in the last 50 years, it's become very popular, the murex. Okay, it's not absolute. This is a very big debate. If the murex is, even the people that put on the murex, no one says that this is 100% sure that this is the tcheles. There's a very high likelihood that it is, but no one will tell you today with absolute certainty that it is. So it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to, they'll tell you it doesn't hurt to be 90% correct. To where some will tell you, no, Adrab, if you're not 100% correct, you have no right. It's a perversion of halacha to do something which is not 100% correct. Okay, that's a different debate. But traditionally, there were black stripes on a beged shel tzitzis, because as a reminder that we don't have the mitzvah bishlemus, so we don't have the tcheles, so we want to remind ourselves, so we put a stripe. What stripe do we put? Black, because black certainly is not Talis Gadol. Talis Gadol. Okay, that's an extension. So then all of a sudden it became very religious, it became very affluent, so they started putting black stripes on the Talis Gadol as well. That's totally off the charts. Right, that's totally...
Recently they had the colors. Before that, it was only black.
Right. So that I'm coming to that, but I don't even want to talk about it. I'm not really... I'm going off on a tangent. Traditionally, people wore, as a Talis Gadol, a white garment with black stripes. Why are there black stripes? So this is not the topic I want to talk about, but why are there, the black stripes is a reminder that we are yearning for the day when Mashiach will come and when the Tcheles will be restored. What is the color of Tcheles? Well, until recent times, no one really knew. We know that it's a blue, but today there are millions of shades of blue, hundreds of shades of blue. So if you're going to put a blue stripe on your talis, people are going to make a mistake and think that is the shade of Tcheles, which absolutely is ridiculous because no one exactly knows what the shade of blue is. So as a reminder, we put something which we definitely will not make any mistake about. We put a black line on the talis.
You also have no right to use blue because blue is a royal color.
Royal color, but that goes back years ago. Okay, in Echanan. So it's just it's a reminder that there is something called tcheles, and we're yearning for the day when the tcheles will be restored, and we'll put on our garments blue strings together with the white.
Among the Sfarim, they have white on white.
They have white on white. That's a new thing. That's I don't think that's
the thing. I think was that the Sfarim just says you have
white, right? Now, so now the question: what about now? I wanted to talk about the black. Let's talk about the garment itself. The garment itself, technically speaking, you can do whatever you want. The Torah only says it has to be a four-cornered garment. I remember there's a guy I know. He used to come in with army fatigue. Came with a talis. He was very proud of his talis. Talis was from the Navy and army fatigue, four corners, and he put on the tzitzis, and he was so proud. Okay, but traditionally, going out of town, you go into a store. I went to the Israel Bookshop in Boston. They have such a beautiful selection of a colored talisot. And if you come over here to Brooklyn, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it because in this community, people doesn't go for it. Whatever it is. But is there something to wearing bedafka, a white talis, besides it being traditional? Maybe the reason why it was traditional is because that's all they had. People were not so affluent, they were able to afford to have exotic garments to use as their talis cotton. So he brings in a very nice piece from the Karakemach. The Karakemach says, yes, there is a source why we bedafka should wear a white garment, again, besides the black stripes that are a reminder of the tcheles, because where does the inyan of wearing a talis gadol come from? It comes from a medrash where after the Chetu Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal gzuntai to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should forgive them for the Chetu Egel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, I will forgive you, and I will teach you the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachim. And part of the Midrashim there explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nisatef kishliach tzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dressed himself, he enveloped himself with a talis like a shliach tzibur. Vayavar, I'll read you what it says in the medrash. Vayavar Hashem al ponov, Hashem passed before Moshe. Only a few days ago. Now he goes further to explain the Kad HaKemach. The Gemara there says, "Uva'aru nesat biur betalis levana." The fact that it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu enveloped himself, that automatically means that it was white. Why white? Because the word oten, this atef, comes from the word, the Gemara makes this drasha as well, ote or kisalma. Also used in reference to why we are talis. Hashem envelops the world with or. Or, the color white is synonymous.
Is in, white
is a combination of all colors, of all colors. What is or? Or is light. What is light? Light also represents all colors. Because when you have light, you're able to have the spectrum of all the colors. So or, to some degree, is synonymous with white. And being that Chazal used the term Oter Or Kisalma, in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nis'atev Kishlich Tzibur Kital, these things go together. I'm reading out a lot of the details. And there's another post that says, in Daniel, Levushecha Kislag Chivar, in the vision that Daniel had of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, he was dressed in snow, white snow, and we take that pasuk, Hashem is dressed, in the vision of Daniel, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is dressed in white snow, synonymous with Oter Or Kisalma, Nis'atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishlech Tzibur. All of the indications that we get is that the proper dressing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we're coming to imitate throughout Talis Gadol, is a white garment. It's called white, it's called or, which encompasses all of the colors. And furthermore, what he really goes on to say is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu through the inside, Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayavar Hashem Alpon of the Yud Gil Midas HaRachmim, the purpose of Tshuva Kapara is, Im Yu Avonoseichem Kasheleg Katzemer Yalbinu, I will whiten it. Kashonim Kashela Yalbinu Psukim, which Kadosh Baruch Hu will whiten our sins as white. Therefore, he suggests these are very strong indications that the proper there is meaning. It's not just an accident that due to circumstance we wear white garments. There is an inyan. There is a higher level of bedafka choosing to wear a white garment for your talis gadol than wearing a multicolored garment. Look, Yosef. Wore the Kesonis Pasim. Did the Kesonis Pasim have a tzitzis? L'chara, yes. In ancient times, all the garments were for. The Kesonis Pasim is multicolored. But was that the talis gadol that Yosef wore when he davened for the Amud? I don't know. Doesn't say. Maybe and maybe not. I don't know. But here he's making a very powerful argument. It's definitely Minog Yisrael. Okay, you can't take that away. That also speaks volumes. Minog Yisrael is to wear a white garment. It's only a new phenomenon that people are out of the metropolitan area are buying multicolored, beautiful garments. They're very impressive. Like I told you, go into the store, you can't help but be impressed at some of these very, very beautiful garments. But it's not traditional, and it appears there is something to it because of Nis'atev Kishlech Tzibur. Kishlech Tzibur Kosher was treating tshuva. It's a reminder to do tshuva, to be forgiven for our sins. Oiter Or Kisalma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dressed in what appeared to be white snow. We're imitating that surah, and that requires us l'chatchil to wear a white garment. On Yom Kippur, everything becomes white because it's a time of tshuva, purity, tyra, right?
So maybe that's one of the reasons why we have a white talus, because we use it for
spirit. Okay, that's true. That's right. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we go to the extreme, and everything becomes white. We just don't rely upon the talus. All the garments are white. Okay, that's definitely true. Okay, let's go to another idea. This I found to be from the Menorah Hashanah. I found this to be very interesting and made an impression upon me. Why is there a mitzvah to wear tcheles in the tzitzis? Okay, whether you wear tcheles, anyone here wear tcheles? Is anyone here wearing tcheles? Or me, you wearing tcheles?
No, I've seen it.
What? Seen it. Live today, so it's very popular. Yeah. Very popular. I'm sure in Yeshiva University it's very popular. Okay, but why did the Torah instruct us to wear tcheles? So here's what it says in the Menorah Hashanah. A few weeks ago, we learned about the Masos. When Klal Yisrael traveled in the desert, the first they took apart the Mishkan, they put the Mishkan into different compartments, and they were covered with a double covering. All of the kelim were covered with tcheles, and on top were covered with or tachash, multicolored garment that came from an animal that only exists in the time of the Midbar. The only exception was the Aron. The Aron was covered first with Or Tachash, and on top of the Aron was Tcheles. So when you travel in the Minbar, you can immediately identify where is the Aron. The Aron was the only thing that was covered with Tcheles. So the Menorah Hashanah says something fascinating. This was given, you have to look in the Parsha. When was the Parsha of Tzitzis given? Parsha Shlach. Parsha Shlach is as Klal Yisrael, is the Mamish smack in the middle of the Masos. We're traveling now to Eretz Yisrael. And it's right after. It's also right after Shulis Matan Torah. It's during the Tkufa of they were given extra mitzvahs by Har Sinai. We have to analyze exactly where it was given. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that anyone, any member of Klal Yisrael, now as you're traveling the desert, now that you're Oisek in the Torah, now that you've received the Torah and you're studying the Torah and you are maturing in Torah, I want you to put on your garments the same color as the Aron. So the Tcheles, this is a novel idea. The Tcheles on our garments is a reminder to connect, that we should connect ourselves with the Torah. You don't normally hear that, because what does Tcheles have to do with the Torah? Tcheles has to do with the Kisya B'yam, the Adol Rekir, the Kisya Kavod. This one, I'll read the words inside. He says, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Shehu Mis'asek B'masha Kosov B'Aron, a person that busies himself with what it says in the Aron, Shehi HaTorah, Yovoi V'Yilbash Levush HaAron. The levush, the clothing of the Aron was blue. Because when they traveled in the Midbar, all the other utensils were covered with, on the surface was artachash. The only thing that was covered with blue was the Aron. It's the levush of the Torah. A person that is Oisek in the Torah deserves to dress himself also with the Torah.
Do we say if you have one tchelis, you don't need the other tzitzis?
If you have what?
If you have a
tzitzit
of
tchelis,
you don't need
them. No, no. You have to have four strings double of no matter what. There's three. There are three opinions as to how to make, how to do it. Either it's two entire tzitzis, one, or a half of two. There are different opinions. Today, all different people are roaming around the streets with different types of the way they do it. No one has four. No one has four. The most you have.
Oh, you're talking about tchelis.
The tchelis, the Muslim. Most you make it. They're different opinions. Okay, now let's go to another idea.
But if we knew what chaos was, we would have to have all the tzitzis in the chaos.
If no, you never have all. Yeah, there's Lavan and there's tchelis.
So if we knew what it was tchelis,
the most there were three opinions what to do. One opinion says,
yeah. The Kerem says if you have a beggar of tchelis,
if the entire beggar,
you shouldn't need tzitzis
altogether, right?
Right.
You shouldn't need tchelis. You shouldn't need tchelis on your corners.
Oh, but you would need tzitzis.
Yeah, you need tzitzis. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, I'm just throwing out a raw idea from the Rokeach. I'll read it to you inside. The Rokeach creates an amazing parallel between tzitzis and the concept of the rainbow, the keshas. I'll read you word for word. Shalosh pamim tzitzis kan. Beis, it says in the Torah the word tzitzis three times. Beis, kan. Beis tzitzis meleim v'yachal tzitzis chasayim. V'chein gimul keshas b'parashas Noach. In Parashas Noach, the word keshas appears also exactly three times. Three times in Parashas Shlach, in the last Aliyah, the Maftir, does it say the word tzitzis, and three times at the end of Parashas Noach does it say the word keshas. Kemosha keshas, I'm reading the words inside. Kemosha keshas near b'yom v'lo b'layla, kein tzitzis neheges b'yom v'dafka. What's the relationship? Just like the rainbow. Did you ever see a rainbow in the middle of the night?
Sometimes around the moon, it's a moon.
A rainbow, a real rainbow?
Yeah.
In the middle of the night? I don't know. Kamosha keshas nira b'yom v'lo b'layla, a rainbow can only be seen by day, not by night. Kein tzitzis neheges b'yom v'dafka. Or tzitzis only is a mitzvah that's done by day. Next. B'tzitzis, it says the word l'doyroisam. L'doyroisam. B'keshes, it says the word l'doyrois oilam. That the rainbow will be a doyrois oilam. B'tzitzis, it says u'isem oso. You will see it. B'keshes u'isiha. When you see it, u'isiha. V'chein b'har beit v'arim shavim b'mikra. B'tzitzis t'chele shadome li. B'keshes kein mare hanoiga sav. What's the reason why we wear tzitzis? Tzitzis doime liyam. T'chele doime liyam. V'yam doime l'rakia. U'rakia doime l'kisei hakovet. It reminds us of the kisei. What does it say about the keshes? It says umare hanoigas the Keshas in Yecheskel, it says that when Yecheskel saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kisei HaKavod, it says it was Kemare HaKeshas. It was like the appearance of a rainbow. There was a tzura. So fast, and we have over here that Tcheles is doma to the Kisei HaKavod, and the Mare Yecheskel is also doma to a Keshas. Okay, Kemoshe HaKeshas Yesh Lizko Shlul Lachtoi, the Keshes is a reminder of the chait of the Dor HaMabul. They have sinned, and because of their sins, they were destroyed. Because Hashem Baruch Hu destroyed the world, and He made it tonight that it's not going to destroy the world again. Kenat Tzitzis, it's a reminder. Isim also, uzachartim is called mitzvos, the mitzvos.
So could you have tzitzis that are all different colors?
Can you have tzitzis? Technically, yes, you can. You can. Technically, you can have any color you want. Lovin is lav dafka. And but the tcheles has to be tcheles. Our custom is to have white. But technically speaking, you can have any color you want. That's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. Uzchaydim is a kol mitzvah tcheles mosa shetavchol. Okay. So what do we do? Again, this is a raw idea, but it's a fascinating idea, is that there's a very interesting similarity relationship between the rainbow and the keshes. The words and the tzitzis. The rainbow, the words are the same, the kants are the same. There must be some type of relationship. The keshes was the sign Hashem will not destroy the world. Maybe the tzitzis is a reminder Hashem will not destroy man. After the chait, you know, when did the person get a beged? He got a beged at what point in time? Think about it. When did the person have to wear garments? After the chait hadas. After the chait hadas, man was dressed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dressed man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for man begadim. With begadim came tzitzis. Perhaps when mankind, not Adam, but when mankind sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world. How does Hashem remind himself he's not going to destroy the world again? With the rainbow. So Chod is also reminded that maybe it's to some degree that the tzitzis in our garment is a reminder after chet, no matter what a person does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be tolerant of man. Hashem will not destroy man. Just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world, the Bar HaMabul, Hashem made a keshes as a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will no longer destroy the world. Okay, we're at it. I'm telling you one more quick thing. One more very beautiful thing. Is why on the Chulios do we have the numbers are 7, 8, 7, 8, 11, 13. What is 7, 11, 13 add up to? 39. If I got my math right, 7 plays 15, 11 and the 13 adds up to a total of 39. Why 39? So the Gra, this comes from the Gra, nothing more than the Gra. When you're wearing tzitzis, it's a reminder of Ma'aseh Bereishis. It's a reminder, what's Ma'aseh Bereishis? Shabbos. How many malachas are there on Shabbos? There are 39 malachas Shabbos. It's a reminder of the Briyak and the Shparach who created the world. Eiter or Kesalma. It fits very well with the... Lechatchila, only you have very little. Only three, I think. Two knots and three. But the minig is to have 7, 8, 11. And where do these numbers come from? So it's the first, it's the Mishnah in the Klal Gadol, in Masechta Shabbos. When the Mishnah breaks down the 39 categories of labor, how are they broken down? They're broken down to four categories. This is the Ruf Negra. It's the famous Ruf Negra. What are the 39 categories? The first are Zuriyah. There are 13 different malachos that involve Zuriyah planting in order to produce bread. Then there are 11 malachas that deal with Ariga, Gesundheit. Ariga is weaving, is garments. Then there are 8 malachas that deal with cutting wood. All different things related to cutting wood, and then there's an assortment of 7 more malachas. So in the Mishnah, in Klal Gadol, the 39 categories of labor are broken into 4 groups: food preparation. Well, I shouldn't say food. I mean zuriyah, clothing, which is 11, and then wood, which is 8, and an assortment of another 7. And those 7, 8, 11, 13 make up the 39 categories of labor, and that's exactly what the Gros says. We are Meramis too, and we have now at Tzitzis 7, 8, 11, 13, the 39 categories of labor, which represent the concept of Shabbos. Chazal said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with 39 acts of labor, and that's what we correspond. We have 39 acts of labor, which we're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Shabbos, it is a reminder of Maisei Bereishis. Okay, one last thing, where does it come from, the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah and the strap of tefillin? It really comes from Avraham. When a person davens, you really wrap yourself with two different mitzvah objects, tefillin and tzitzis. Right, you have your tefillin and the tzitzis on your body. Who's the first one to make reference to these two things? Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu, when he won the war against the four kings, and the Melech Sodom, Emichut v'atzeroch nal. Emichut means that nothing, like a shoelace, a strand, and then a shoelace. Emichut nal. The Medrash says, in reward for saying these words, he was rewarded that his children would have the mitzvah of the chut of tzitzis and the tzeroch nal of tefillin, the ritzua shel tefillin. So when we dress ourselves for davening with the talis and tefillin, we are really reminding ourselves of Avraham Avinu, the first one to reinstitute the concept of tefillah. Who was the one that was misaking tefillah? Shachris. Avraham. By Shachris, we wear talis and tefillin. By the way, we don't wear it by mincha and by ma'arif, mikradin. So we're wearing talis and tefillin, and we're dressing ourselves up in the merit of Avraham that said, Michut v'yat shachnal, that should accompany us now, tefillah, to be zoicha in tefillah. All right, maybe we'll just go through.